We innately, naturally know that stories have power, right? You ever heard somebody tell a story, and like as they're telling the story, you just feel like you just get so excited, or you get really into it, or man, it just encourages you. So I just wanted to share with you a couple stories that really you probably know. First of all, there's the one about win one for the Gipper, right? You familiar with that? Any Notre Dame fans out there? Praise the Lord, right there. Okay, good. So, you know, there's this guy who was an athlete in college. His name was George Gipp, and he was a quarterback and a running back. He was kind of an all-around star and athlete, and he got sick while he was at Notre Dame, and he was in the hospital, and Newt Rockne, the coach, head coach then of Notre Dame, went to visit him, and the very next weekend, they were getting ready to play their nemesis, Army. That was back when Army and Navy actually had good football teams. And he's sitting there with, you know, George Gipp, and George Gipp looks at him and uses his nickname, which is the Gipper. He says, "Coach, just win one more for the Gipper." Now, the story has, you know, probably been exaggerated over the years, and I'm sure, you know, Newt Rockne, when he talked to his team at halftime and shared that story in which they were losing, and then they came out at halftime and just blew him out of the water, you know, but it was this kind of idea, this thought, this incredible story that was shared, and now it's become famous. And then, of course, there's the story of King Leonidas. Those of you that are big into history or movies, you know, there's this movie a while back called The 300, and it was about the Spartan king, King Leonidas, and how he and his 300, you know, troops and everything, they went to this pass at Thermopylae, and they held back the entire Persian army. Now, the truth of the story is that there was more than 300, and it wasn't just his 300 men. He actually had 6,000, but then those people left and kind of left him there to hold everything. But he did hold back for several days the entire Persian army, which did a couple things. It actually allowed the rest of the Greek nations and city-states to get together and combine their force, in which they ended up defeating the Persian empire after that. But it also created this almost mystique about King Leonidas, so much so that it inspired the entire Greek nation and history, and it just gave them the ability and the power to be willing to do whatever to save their nation. Then, of course, we know Jesus Christ loved to tell stories. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, it says that every time that Jesus talked to people, he always used stories. He always used stories. Now, if you grew up old school or you read your Bible, there's this thing called parables, and that's really, it's just a story that is told to kind of get a point across. And so one of the stories that he just told was Lazarus and the rich man. And he tells the story for the purpose of letting us know that, hey, there are consequences in the afterlife for the choices that you make in this life. And there are other reasons that he tells the story, but that's one of them. He also tells the story about the wise builder and the foolish builder. One builds on sand, one builds on rock. And when the storm comes, the foolish builder who built on sand because he wanted to get quicker and do the shortcuts and all that stuff, his house collapsed. And the story is given to inspire us and to challenge us to actually build on the right foundation within our lives. So stories have power. The way that stories are told have power. When we actually communicate those things, we understand that there is so much power behind it because they can motivate us, they can challenge us, they can teach us, they can cause us to be willing to take greater steps and encourage us. They can also rebuke us. You ever told a story to your kid when they did something wrong and you wanted to kind of tell them a story and you know, you told it about maybe your childhood? Listen, when I was a kid and I didn't listen to my mom and I kept sticking my finger in the light socket and I kept doing this. You're like, man, now look at me. Now I've got this weird nervous tic, and you know, that's what happens, you know, when you don't. And so we tell these stories, right? Because we're trying to teach and instruct and help and encourage. I think that as we think about our stories, we tend to be very hesitant about sharing them, especially if the stories aren't flattering to us. Now, I know, right, the old high school football player that still actually has his varsity leather jacket, you know, and he talks about the good old days when he played and all that stuff. And we love to tell those stories, but we really struggle telling the stories when we made a dumb decision, when we made a mistake, when things didn't work out the way that we had planned or that we anticipated. And I think the reason that we struggle telling those stories is because we are so ingrained to never show any real weaknesses. We're so kind of overwhelmed with the idea that somebody might take a failure or a mistake of our past and use it against us. And so we downplay our failure, we rationalize our mistakes, we hide our fears, and we do everything in our power to project this idyllic, Instagram-filtered life. And that's what we want everyone to see. And here's the problem. When we project that, other people see that, and they think to themselves, why am I so messed up when they've got it all together? When in reality, you are probably more messed up than they are, right? Can we agree that can we all say that we're messed up? Can we agree with that? In fact, look to the person that you love most and just say, because I'm giving you permission right now to do it. Look at them and say, you messed up, right? Just like, yeah. Some of you are like, I'm not saying that. That's going to get me in some serious trouble. Others of you are whipping out your phone and going, who can I text? You are messed up. Dave said it was okay. You are messed up. Yeah, smarty pants over here. All right, but we're messed up. I mean, we. But the thing is, we act as if we're not. We don't want to be open and honest about our failures, because if we do that, we feel like we're opening ourselves up to attack, to ridicule, to people using it against us. Now, I don't usually quote psychologists, but this quote by a guy named Carl Rogers is really so powerful. And I want to just read this to you. Here's what the quote says. What is most personal is most universal. What is most personal is most universal. Now, here's what that means. What that means is that the thing, thanks, Josh. That's all right. Saw it in your back pocket as you walked off. That's okay, man. I appreciate it, bud. Nice and body temperature. Okay, so I had to say that Here's what it means. It means the thing that hurts us the most, the thing that we struggle with the most, the failures that you believe are highly personal, or you're the only one that struggles with it, are actually the things that are more than likely the exact same hurts, the exact same struggles, the exact same difficulties, the exact same failures that everybody else around you is struggling with. You ever been in a group and you're like, okay, I'm gonna really be bold here, I'm gonna really be brave, and I'm gonna tell them that this morning I got coffee with sweetener in it. I'm just gonna be open and vulnerable. You know, I'm gonna tell, I didn't get black coffee because I don't like black coffee. It tastes gross. It has a weird texture. It's just simply black water. So I had to get creamer in it. And I didn't just get regular creamer. I got caramel brulee latte creamer. And it was really good. And so you're vulnerable and you open up. And then what's amazing is that everybody else in the group is like, me too, but I got the cinnamon spice latte. But nobody else says it. But the minute that somebody breaks the seal, you realize everybody else is in the same boat. Everybody else is struggling with the same thing. But none of us want to talk about it. We don't want to be the first. Instead, we promote the idea that we are fine. There's no problems. Because we believe that everyone else is fine. We look at everyone and we go, everyone else has got it figured out. And so we are the only ones that are struggling with that particular issue. So we project with all of our power that we are fine.
I'm fine.
Really?
Absolutely. I'm fine. Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
And that's what we hold on to with all of our power. We're fine. We're fine. How you doing? Fine. I'm great. Praise the Lord. I'm great. Right? We struggle because we are often embarrassed by our stories. But the truth is that there is incredible power within our stories to both help yourself to grow and encourage others to keep moving forward. But the power of our stories to change our world can only be realized when we share them. If the story goes untold, the power goes untapped. If the storyteller remains silent, the power of the story remains held captive. Only when you're willing to go, hey, I know you're struggling with this, and I want to tell you, I'm there too. This is what I'm working through. This is what I'm trying to overcome. This is what I've learned. This is what God has taught me. These are the times I've made the mistakes, and I want you to know you're not alone. So the big idea for today is very simple. Only when your story is shared can its potential power be released. But your story can change your world. And when I say your world, I mean your world of influence, the people that you see, the people that you connect with, the people that are your coworkers, the people that are in your family or extended family, your neighbors, the people that you see on a regular basis, that's your world. That's the people that you connect with, that you know, that you understand, that you share similar things with. And so when you are willing to be open about your story and about the times that weren't so great in your story, then you know what? There's power in that. There's power in that. And it's not just power for other people, it's power for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus gives us one of the most important reasons why we should share our story. And you might read it and go, I don't get it, but you will in a second. Jesus says these words, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." You see, really, truly following Jesus is hard. The Amplified Version actually says, it is a difficult road to walk. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to say this with as much clarity as I possibly can. We need each other. We need each other. Because this walk with Jesus is not a solo journey. It's not like God gives you a backpack and goes, see you in 30 years when you croak. But instead, he builds this community around you. That's why church is so essential. Because it gives you people that you can connect with. And when you share your stories, both of victory and not so much victory, it allows others to be empowered to walk the walk with you. The Apostle Paul so eloquently and powerfully challenges us to do just that in 1 Thessalonians. Look at this verse. He says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." And we're going to skip down to verse 14. "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." Sometimes we get the idea that we are only responsible for ourselves. That as long as we're good, we've got it taken care of, we're fine. The reality is that the minute that you accept Jesus Christ, you move from being a solo silo to being someone who is now interconnected with the family of God. And as a family member, we have responsibilities to encourage, to challenge, to uplift, to even rebuke sometimes and go, hey, this is what God has called us to, because we want to see all of our family members be successful. We want to see them all finish well. Paul uses that phrase, in fact, he says, I want you to finish the race that has been set before you. I want you to finish well. And Paul was just not one of those guys that talk the talk. You know those guys, right? They say, oh, this is how you should do it. You're like, oh, do you do that? No. But listen, it's a great idea. I think you should do it. Okay. That's like I sat down with a guy once talking about investing, and I'm talking to him, and I said, okay. I said, well, why don't you show me your portfolio? And he goes, well, I've not really started investing yet. And I'm like, but you want to invest my money. Okay. Thanks for the cup of coffee, buddy. So we want to talk with people. We want to engage with people that are willing to do what they encourage us to do, that are willing to follow through. And so the Apostle Paul, we tend to think of him as the guy that wrote half the New Testament, and he was this powerful preacher and teacher, and he wrote these powerful books in the New Testament, and he planted churches all over Asia and Asia Minor and the known world, and he just was this force of nature, if you will, for God, so much so that the Roman Empire feared him so much that they literally put him in prison and ended up beheading him because they're like, this guy is tearing the Roman Empire apart by what he's doing. We can't let this keep happening. And so we think of him in those terms. And I think a lot of people in that day thought of the Apostle Paul in those terms. But in 1 Timothy, the very first chapter, Paul is writing to his mentee, his disciple, his son in the faith, his good friend, Timothy. And the reason he's writing Timothy, which, by the way, if you're like new to the faith, you're new to reading your Bible, it's called 1 Timothy because there's a 2 Timothy because Paul wrote two letters to. This is not as confusing as people think. So this is the first letter that Paul writes to Timothy. And the reason he writes the letter is because Timothy is about ready to throw in the towel. He's like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. These people, I'm done. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy and be like, man, don't give up. God's got something great for you. God's got something in store for you. And you know how he starts this whole letter off? He starts by telling him his story. Follow these words. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work, and he considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. And in my insolence, I persecuted his people. He's like, Timothy, I know that you may not know about this. I'm assuming that you do, but I want to remind you of my past. You know, you want to give up because you don't think you're old enough or you don't think you've got enough ability or you're exhausted or whatever. But Timothy, remember, I persecuted the church. I killed people who were followers of Jesus Christ. I blasphemed. I made fun of Jesus Christ. I did everything I could to squelch, kill, destroy the church, and yet God still chose me. He continues. Next verse. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. I love that. He's like, dude, I was so stupid. I had no idea what was going on. And that word ignorance, by the way, that's a powerful word. He was saying, I had no knowledge on the subject within which I was working. He said, I am ignorant, and I didn't even believe the things that were being taught. So, oh, how generous and gracious our Lord is. He filled me with love that comes from Christ Jesus. And now watch this. This is a trustworthy saying, and everybody should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we're like, yeah, amen. We love that. And I am the what? I'm the worst. Christ came into the world, and I want to tell you something. He saved me, and I was the worst. I mean, I'm not just like the worst. Oh, you're such the worst. No, like I was literally the worst. There was nobody. I don't know if there's a competition for the worst, but Paul was pretty sure that he had won the competition for the worst. I was the worst, and I love what he says. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Paul's like, listen, do you want to know why Jesus saved me? So that he could say this. You see that idiot? I saved him. And if I can save him, I can save anybody. If I can use him, I can use anybody. Let me just say, look at this guy. Let me just remind you of his past and what he did and how he behaved and how he acted. But I showed up to him and he accepted me, and now I'm using him to write half of the New Testament, to plant churches all over the world, to be the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. And yet, he had all that stuff in his past. Now let's be honest. If we were in Paul's shoes, we may not be so forthcoming with our past. Like, no, we got it all together. We're fine. Just follow me. But how much power is in that when Paul says, Timothy, if I can do it, you can do it, buddy. Look at my past. Look at the way I've messed up. And he finishes with this. He says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. He's just being honest and open and vulnerable. And that's what we need to be about our story. Now, I want to just share with you three things that sharing your story empowers you to do, and then sharing your story empowers others to do. So when you make it okay to share your story, that the path isn't straight, that it had a lot of squiggly lines and detours and times where you sat by the side of the road feeling sorry for yourself and instead of moving forward and all these different things, when you're open and honest, it makes an impact in others' lives. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what we often either don't realize or don't think about or weren't ever told is that sharing our story with others actually does something for us too. And I want to show you through Paul's story what it can do. So the first thing is this: sharing my story with others empowers me to become resilient. It empowers me to become resilient. The Apostle Paul says, listen, he's given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy. He appointed me to serve him. God is actually using me, and I can look over my life, and I can look at the mistakes that I made before, and I can realize that I probably don't measure up, but here's what I know. And when I share my story, I can see that God continues to use me. God continues to empower me. God continues to call me forward. God continues to give me purpose. God continues to give me the ability to do all the things that he's called me to do. So even though right now I may be knocked down, I know that God is faithful and he will bring me up and see me through. And it creates resilience. It's amazing when you begin to talk about all the things that you've been through and you look at yourself and you go, man, I've worked through a lot of things in my life. I've overcome a lot of things. I'm actually pretty tough. Walk around with a little more, you know, little pipes, right? Hey, I'm pretty tough. Because it gives you that resilience, because you remember all the times you fell flat on your face, but you got back up and God continued to use you. Second thing is, when you share your story, it empowers you to remember the lessons. It empowers you to remember the lessons. You know, when you make a mistake, when you sin, when you fall short, there's always a reason why God allows those things to happen. He wants to teach you a lesson. It's like you with your kids, right? If they do something, you sometimes allow them to do it because you know the result is not going to be what they want. And you're like, hey, let that teach you a lesson. Don't do that again. And so God, our loving Heavenly Father, will allow some of those things in our life as well. And Paul says, he says, listen, God was merciful with me because I did this in ignorance and unbelief. And oh, how generous and gracious our Lord is. He filled me with faith and love that comes from Jesus Christ. The story, the thing, the lesson that I learned is that no matter how far, no matter how dumb, no matter how ridiculous things happen, that God's grace and his mercy is always there. He'll always pick me up. He'll always see me through. It just reminds me of those lessons. And for you, as you think about your story, and as you look back and you go, man, I can't believe that God would still even want me around when I did that, but yet he does, and that lesson that I learned, wow, don't do that again. And you're reminded of that lesson. Last thing is, when we share our story, it empowers me to remain humble. When God uses you to do something, or you achieve a certain status, it can be really easy to begin to believe that it was all you. This is how I got here. This is what I did. Let me tell you what I did. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and then it happens. And so now if you too will do this, and do this, and do this, and it'll happen for you. You know, aren't I so great? Would you like to buy my book? I'll sign the front page because, you know, we've got it all figured out. But when you share your story, you are reminded of how many times you've blown it. Like, I can't believe that I did this, but here's what I did. It's like I learned a very valuable lesson a couple of years ago. I've got a little Dodge Dakota truck, and it's a beater. It's got four-wheel drive, and so the back of our house sits across like a cliff that drops about 150 feet to the ground. Like, literally, you don't want to get on that. But then there's this back pathway that kind of slopes around like that. And so because I'm not really excited about carrying, you know, 20 sheets of drywall downstairs, what I did is I put it in the back of my truck, I put it in four-wheel drive, and I began to back down. I've done that probably 30 times. But what I didn't realize, and the lesson that I learned, was that when it rains, the ground gets really wet. See, I know some of you are like, you should have known that already. See? Lessons, and it reminds you. I'm telling you now, so don't remind me in the future. Don't ever do that. Because when you do that, even in a four-wheel drive truck, you get to a particular corner, you turn your tires one way, and your truck slides towards the cliff. And literally, I'm sitting in the truck and going, this is how it's going to end. This is it. It's all over with. Now, a guy was there, and he helped me get it all out and everything, but you know what? It's a lesson. I'm like, listen, it's got to be either completely frozen or not rain for 4 weeks. I'm not doing that again because I'm learning the lesson. I'm not heading down there, and I'm going to remain humble and realize that no matter how great I drive or no matter how cool the truck is, I'm not going to do that stupid thing again because it was a dumb thing to do. Can we all agree that was a dumb thing to do? Okay, so you're like, yeah, I knew that before you tried. Okay, so... And I love, he says, God had mercy on me so that Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience. So that's what it does for you when you share your story. Let me share with you what it does for the people around you. Sharing my story with others empowers them to realize they aren't alone. It empowers them to realize they aren't alone. I'm going to raise my hand because I'll be the first to admit this. How many of you have ever at your point, any point in time in your life, gone through something and you thought to yourself, no one has ever gone through something like I'm going through right now. No one has ever. I mean, no one. You're like, and literally, listen, you want to know how deep I got in this one? Like, I'm praying, going, God, no one's ever been through this before. And God's like, hey, remember, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning furnace and all that stuff? Remember Jonah and the whale? Do you remember Daniel in the lion's den? And I'm like, okay, but, you know, they're Bible characters. So, you know, but this is real life, God, right? I don't know about you, I think that way sometimes. It's not right. It's, you know, these are true people, but I think that way sometimes. Like, yeah, but that was Daniel. Daniel was tough, and he was strong, and he was, But one of the most difficult things in life is feeling, thinking, or believing that you're all alone. And the reality is we're not. We are surrounded by a group of people whose story has gone down so many of the same detours and paths and rocky roads and difficult things and thorny whatever. We've been there. But if we don't share our story, then people feel isolated. They feel as if they can't share their story because everyone will look at them like they have eight eyeballs. You're so weird. What did you do wrong? Why does God hate you so much? These are the thoughts. Because we don't think anyone else has gone through what we've gone through. But when you share your story, it empowers people to realize they're not alone. The second thing, it empowers others to feel hope. It empowers others to feel hope. I love the way that Paul puts it. He's like, listen, I'm God's prime example of the screw-up who God can still use. And let me tell you my story. And if I can get out of that, if I can overcome that, then you can too. Now maybe you're not quite as self-assured or as confident in yourself as Paul was to say, hey, listen, I've been through that and I screwed up, and let me tell you, if anybody can make it out of that, you can, because I was totally messed up. But that's kind of what it does. It says to them, listen, not only are you not alone, but there's hope. It's not over with. Look, I'm still walking. I'm still breathing. I'm still working through this. I may not have had it all figured out yet, but God has lifted me up, and he can lift you up too. You just need to start making the right decisions. You just need to start doing the right things. You just need to take this step. You just need to actually just allow God to work. You need to share your story. Whatever it is, give them the hope as you share your story with them. And finally, it empowers them to see Jesus. Paul ends, he says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Really, as I look at these, I look at that last one, and I think there's so much untapped power in that last one. I don't know how many times I've talked to someone who started coming to church and they said, I was so afraid because everyone else around me seemed to have it all together. I didn't know if they would actually accept me. I didn't even own a suit. I didn't do this, or I this, or I wasn't sure. And so there's this stigma, if you will, that if you're going to go to church, then you've got to figure it out. You've got to have it all, you know, all figured out, all straightened out. You know, you've got to have everything done right, and your marriage has to be perfect, and your kids actually have to behave and listen to you and wear the same shoes on a particular day. You've got to have it all figured out to be able to come. And the reality is that's so turned upside down. The reality is that as we share our stories, people are like, wow, and you're a Christian. Okay, so you're really messed up too. Yeah. But the great part is that we know the one who can untangle the mess. And slowly our lives are starting to get figured out, and our marriages are starting to, you know, get better. And sorry, but Jesus doesn't help your kids wear the same shoes. I don't know if there's anything that can help that. But man, we're getting it figured out, and that's why I think you should maybe connect with me and come check it out too. Because the story empowers them to see Jesus. Because the reality is so many times people can't see Jesus because all they can see is our perfectly manicured profiles. All they can see is the filtered Instagram pictures and Facebook posts, how you made 7 loaves of bread and your children are sitting around the table doing their e-learning in perfection. What they don't see is the dog is dumping a load over in the corner. The cat is, the cat's peeing on the carpet. You've got snow falling all. That's because that's not in the frame. And that's all they can see. When we're real, when we're willing to share our stories, it pulls all the filters off. And people can actually start to see Jesus through you. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the incredible privilege of having a story. We thank you for the fact that you choose to use us. You choose to draw us in. You choose to create new within us. You take that which is messed up and fallen apart and you begin to put the pieces back together. God, I pray that we as Christians would not walk around pretending that everything's perfect. That we've got it all figured out, because God, that's a repellent to a world that's lost and broken and looking for some hope. And God, through our stories, not our perfect stories, our stories of sometimes falling and sometimes having victory, sometimes making the wrong decisions, and sometimes even in spite of our own desires, making the right one. But more so than that, God, to say, look at where we were. But since Jesus Christ has come into our life, into our marriage, into our parenting, he's beginning to untangle the mess that we've created of our story. And he's beginning to weave it into the bigger story of who he is. So, Father, I pray that we would be open, that we would be honest, and that we would share our story so that we can be empowered and that others can be empowered and that the world can see Jesus. I pray this in his name and for his honor and glory. Amen.